We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
Exodus chapter 33, just a quick little recap at this point. Moses has been away on Mount Sinai for 40 days. Moses leaves Aaron in charge. Since he's been away. However, the natives get restless while Moses is away. So while Moses is receiving from God the way that he is supposed to be worshipped through the tabernacle, through the priesthood, the people down below there that are with Aaron, again, are getting restless. They don't like the fact that Moses has been up there for 40 days. And so they come to Aaron and they said, hey, we would like to worship Yahweh through making of an idol in the way of a false god. And so they ask him to make them gods that would go before them, that they do not know what has happened to Moses. And so as they get restless, they said, hey, you know, we want you now to make us a god that we can see, touch, and feel, you know, because we don't know what's happened to Moses. All right. So Moses comes down from Mount Sinai. He sees his people in sin, worshiping in a very decadent way, this golden calf, this idol. And so Moses is upset, breaks the stone tablets which contain the Ten Commandments. Moses then destroys the golden idol, grinds it up into powder, pours it into a stream, makes the people drink from the stream. Moses then asks, whoever's on the Lord's side, come to him. And so the sons of Levi gathered to Moses. And so the sons of Levi went throughout the whole camp and they ended up killing 3,000 Israelites who did not want to follow the Lord. So Moses then goes before the Lord, intervenes on behalf of the people. God tells him he's going to send an angel before them to go into the promised land, but God himself is no longer going to go with him into the promised land. And so Moses then takes his tent, removes it from the camp, pitches his tent outside the camp, and this is now where God is going to speak to Moses outside the camp to show that God is no longer in the midst of his people. And so it is here that we kind of left off when we read in Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And so that is where he does it at Moses's tent. And this speaks of intimacy, but as we're going to see here this morning, it actually speaks more than that. There's more to it than that. And so it's after this statement that Moses then addresses the issue of God's presence not being with them as they go into the promised land. And so God tells Moses that his presence is going to be with him, much like it is as he's now pitched his tent on the outside, okay, of the camp. So God is with him. That's where he meets with him. So Moses has his presence, okay, but for Moses, that's not good enough. And so in chapter 33, verse 15, it says, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. And so he goes on and says in verse 16, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So at this point, Moses understands what the Exodus is all about. His argument is that if you don't go up with all of us, then with Israel, then how are you supposed to carry out the mission to the other nations? How are they going to see that you're with us if you're not with us? Okay? Because Moses understood that it was him shining through the nations of how God was going to save the rest of the world. And the only way that would happen was having God in the center of what they're doing, because how else is anybody going to see that we're different? If they don't see you in our presence, how are they going to know about you? It's the same thing with us today, okay? If people don't see Jesus in us, then how is God supposed to use us? To reach our family members, to be able to reach our friends, our neighbors. If they don't see Jesus in us, how is God going to reach them? Okay. Well, while God was going to do this collectively as a nation, now he does this through individuals to reap people around the world. So this was Moses' argument. And so it seems like when we go through chapter 33 anyway, or through this Exodus account, God bringing and leading the people, one of the key words that we keep coming across is God's presence, okay? God's presence with them, all right? And so the word for presence here in the Hebrew is panim. It's a plural noun, and it means faces, is what that means. As a matter of fact, it's the same word that we saw in verse 11 when it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. It actually is panim, and it means faces to faces, is what that means. And so in verse 15, if your faces, your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. So this is interesting that the word for God's presence is faces, and it's in the plural, panim, okay? Now, this word face of God is sometimes used, and it is panim, and sometimes it is pane, okay? Still means the face of God, all right? Now, in Genesis 32, there's an event here where Jacob himself wrestles with the angel of the Lord. Now, we have gone through already, and you can read about this, and you can then go to our teaching that we did on Exodus chapter 3, when Moses himself is before the burning bush, and we're told it is the angel of the Lord. When you see the angel of the Lord, that always speaks of the manifestation of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. Okay, Jesus. We see the angel of the Lord. We see my angel. Okay, that also is the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Trinity. We see the commander of the Lord's army in Joshua chapter 5. Okay, we also know that is also the angel of the Lord. And that speaks of the second person of the Trinity. Every time we see this theophany, this is appearance or manifestation of God, I haven't done a thorough look at this, but this is my theory. Okay, this is Dave Love's theory. Okay, that every theophany is actually a Christophany, meaning that whenever God manifests Himself, He manifests Himself through the Son. Okay. But Dave, the pillar of cloud, is that Jesus? Yeah, it is. That's another manifestation. It seems like you can see God through his Son. And so that is my theory anyway, you know, and I would love for anybody to say, well, what about this scripture? Great. I would like to know what that is. But my cursory look at it at this point is that I would say that that a lot of theologians, well, that's a theophany. Well, this one is definitely a Christophany. I think it's all a Christophany, myself, personally, okay? You don't have to believe that to be saved or anything like that, all right? You just have to believe that to be right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. Totally not true, okay? So these many faces, okay, I think speaks of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? This is my presence. We're all here. We're all here. As I speak to Moses, we're all here. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. So here, you have the event of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And so in Genesis 32, verse 30, it says, so Jacob called the name of the place where he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He calls the name of the place Peniel. For I've seen God face to face. The word there is panim. I've seen God's faces to faces. And my life is preserved. The word panil in the Hebrew, paniel, because el means God, pane, is face. Okay? And so he calls the place the face of God. All right? So Jacob says that this angel, he wrestled with God because he saw God face to face since he wrestled with him. And so We've already gone over last time in detail, briefly stating in chapter 33, God withdrawing the promise of his presence with Israel because of their idolatry with the golden calf. And this is the crisis moment for the nation of Israel. Their entire future and their relationship with God is at stake here. And so God was saying, because of your desire for idols, I cannot continue with you. I cannot continue with you. However, God still has his presence with Moses. And again, it's in verse 7 here of chapter 33 where it says, Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. This is the temporary tabernacle of meeting, because in chapter 36 is when they're going to actually build the tabernacle of meeting. This is the instructions that Moses has been given for 40 days. You're going to worship me through the tabernacle, through the priesthood. Here's the tabernacle. We've gone over the tabernacle, all its furnishings, all those kind of things. It has not been built yet. But tabernacle just means dwelling place. This is where God is going to dwell. So they call it the tabernacle. Also the sanctuary of meeting is what it's called. So here, Moses pitches his tent and God says, guess what? That's going to be my tabernacle right now. Because this is where I'm going to dwell and it's going to be with Moses. And it's outside the camp to be able to show my displeasure with you because you seem to like idols more than my presence. And so I will share my glory with no one, including all those dumb idols that you want to worship. And so he moves outside the camp. Okay, so that's why he's outside the camp. And then in verse 9 it says, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, that means his own tent, that the pillar of cloud descended, stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So it's here that we then see in verse 11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And again, that word face is panim, so that means faces. They're all there. The Trinity is there. Okay. And so, yes, Moses spoke face to face with God, but that face was also veiled by the manifestation of the cloud. And Moses is, and for Moses, and I love this, you would just think that, man, if I could just hear the voice of God like that, that I could go to prayer and actually pray and actually hear an audible voice and just talk to God like Moses is talking to God here, you would just think, man, that would just be awesome, would it not? And would that not be good enough? Well, for Moses, it's not. And in a good way, okay? Because it's later on in verse 18, they says, please show me your glory. It's like, man, you're asking for a lot, Moses. You know, you got this, you got this, you got this. You have this intimate relationship. You're able to talk to him, you know, at any time that you want. And he descends as a cloud right there for all to see. And then you ask, please show me your glory. And it's like, wow. He gives this request to God, show me your glory. Even though Moses has spoken to God, Yahweh, face to face, it's still being veiled by the cloud of his presence. And so Moses has been closer to the cloud of God's presence than anyone else. But Moses is kind of asking, can I get a better look? I know that you're more than this cloud is what he's saying. And I think this is precious. I think this is absolutely wonderful. Because wherever you are in your relationship with the Lord and your walk with the Lord, if you want more, God will give you more. And it's nothing wrong to ask for that. Lord, I just want to see your hand move a little bit more in my life. What is it that you want me to do? Lord, I really want to see you do a miracle over here. I really want to see this happen. I really want to see, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for those things. God can still say no. You know, I think we are always asking when it comes to a healing. We're asking, Lord, we just want to see more of you. We want to be able to see you do this. And sometimes the Lord says, absolutely, I am. And there's other times that, yeah, I'm not going to. You know why? Why? Because I'm calling him home. I want to be with him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And so he's going to ask for more, which is pretty awesome, because you might recall when he first met the Lord, in a sense, in that physical sense of at the burning bush, this is what it says: and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You have to be able to see the contrast between back then and here it is. I'm going to take probably about a year later. Okay, maybe a little over a year later from that burning bush experience to where he is now. Show me your glory. I'm right here in a cloud. I'm speaking to you. I want to see more. Wow, quite the difference than when he first contacts Moses. Moses wouldn't even look in his direction. It's a huge contrast. And so we have seen Moses speak with God face to face. So what does this request even mean? Well, let's read here in verse 19. It says here, he says, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion in whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my panim, my face. For man, no man shall see me and live. Wait a minute. You talk to him face to face. But here he's saying, you're not going to see my face. For no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here's a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. So it shall be that my glory passes by, that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you up with my hand. And while I pass by, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face, panim, shall not be seen. What? Now, I want you to know that even he describes what he is going to do for Moses. Okay. But he doesn't actually do it until chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. And it's there it says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Yahweh, God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Okay, that's where it actually takes place, is there. Okay, so I just want to be able to go over all the way through verse 23. There's some very interesting things here. We'll go over it even more detail when we get to chapter 34 next week, Lord willing, and we go over that area of scripture. So I want you to be able to see here, he says a couple of things here. It's interesting. Hey, show me your glory. So he goes in, but goes, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, which he does there in verse 6 of chapter 34. I'll be gracious to him, I'll be gracious. I will have compassion, I'll have compassion. But he says, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Okay, all right then. It's interesting because in verse 11, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, panim to panim. Verse 20, though, says, you cannot see my face, pane. Okay. For no man shall see me and live. So I think personally, no one can see him, meaning in all his glory, being probably of the Godhead, God the Father. You cannot see that pane, that face. Okay. Verse 23, you shall see my back, but my face, pane, not panim, pane, shall not be seen. Okay. And so kind of from what God has shown him face to face, I would submit to you, is the manifestation of the second person of the Trinity every time he does that. Okay. So again, this is where my theory comes in. All right. That every time a manifestation is given, it's actually the second person of the Trinity that you're seeing in many different manifestations and forms. Okay. Did I have an amen? Who was that? John? Oh, if John's saying amen, then I know I'm on the right track. And so something very different is happening here with the word panim and pane, okay? There seems some mystery going on in this word and its context with God interacting with Moses. Moses seeing something of the glory of God. Moses was speaking personally face to face with the Godhead in some way that was a physical manifestation of God himself. Yet Moses also knows there's more to be seen. There's more to be seen. God is being seen by Moses, yet not being seen. So you're seeing something there of the Godhead, but you're not seeing the Godhead in its entirety. He seems to understand that. This shows us that God could be seen and yet at the same time not be seen. Okay? He could be known and yet not totally known. And God reveals himself in ways that we can understand and yet will never fully understand. All his ways. We read in Isaiah 55 verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." As you've been walking with the Lord, has God not done some things in your life going, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. You might even look back on it now and do understand it at the time you didn't. You might look back at it now and you still don't understand. But you can understand what God has revealed. That he is just and righteous in all his ways. And he didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. That you can understand. You don't understand what the purpose is at this point. You don't understand maybe why he allowed this to happen or that to happen or whatever. I don't understand all of God's ways. Okay? And sometimes I don't even know what it is that he's thinking and things like that. Of course, he is God and I am not. And so again, he does reveal things, but is it a total revealing that now I know all of his ways and I understand everything about God? No, it's not. But there's nothing wrong with asking for further revelation or show me more of your glory or give me more of an understanding of what it is that you're doing here. And he can say, sure. And he can also say, yeah, no. He is God, and we are not. And there's nothing wrong with Moses saying, hey, show me your glory. Show me more of you. And God is going to do that, but not all of him. And he's not showing him a certain part of his face, because that part of his face no one can see and live. It's absolutely fascinating when you go through this. And so here in verse 21, this is what he's going to do. Here's a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. Will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. There's many who would say this is figurative language, that the Lord God does not have a literal hand. He doesn't have a back. However, the problem with this is that this is not figurative language. This is not poetic language. This is actually recorded history. Someone was speaking to Moses. Someone was telling Moses exactly what he's going to do with Moses. And here's something that is absolutely fascinating. Go over here to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Here you have Miriam and Aaron speaking poorly about Moses. And God does not like that. It says that Miriam and Aaron, verse 1, spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Ruh-roh. We will stand with the hosts of heaven and cry, "Holy is the Lamb." We will worship.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.